Chapter 54, Nehemiah Bravely Rebukes Selfishness. Nehemiah's attention was called to the unhappy condition of the poorer classes of people. There was a scarcity of grain. In order to obtain food, the poor were obliged to buy on credit at exorbitant prices. They also were compelled to borrow on interest to pay the heavy taxes imposed by Persia. To add to the distress, the more wealthy among the Jews had taken advantage of their necessities, thus enriching themselves. The Lord had commanded that every third year a tithe be raised for the benefit of the poor, and that every seventh year the spontaneous products of the land be left to those in need. Faithfulness in devoting these offerings to the relief of the poor would have kept fresh before the people God's ownership of all, eradicating selfishness and developing character. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything. For the poor shall never cease out of the land, therefore I command thee, saying, Thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy, in thy land. Wealthy Jews had gone directly contrary to these commands. When the poor were obliged to borrow to pay tribute to the king, the wealthy had exacted high interest. By taking mortgages they had reduced the debtors to deep poverty. Many had been forced to sell their sons and daughters into servitude, and there seemed no prospect before them but perpetual want and bondage. At length the people presented their condition before Nehemiah. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but it is not in our power to help it, for other men have our fields and our vineyards. RSV. Nehemiah's soul was filled with indignation. I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. He saw that he must take a decided stand for justice. The oppressors were men of wealth whose support was needed in restoring the city. But Nehemiah sharply rebuked the nobles and rulers, and he set before the people the requirements of God. He called their attention to events in the reign of King Ahaz. Because of their idolatry, Judah had been delivered into the hands of still more idolatrous Israel. The latter had seized women and children, intending to keep them as slaves or sell them to the heathen. Because of the sins of Judah, the Lord had not interposed, but by the prophet Oded he rebuked the victorious army, "You intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves. Have you not sins of your own against the Lord your God?" RSV. Upon hearing these words, the armed men left the captives and spoil before the congregation. Then leading men of Ephraim took the captives, and with the spoil clothed all that were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shod them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, to their brethren. Nehemiah and others had ransomed certain Jews who had been sold to the heathen, and he now placed this course in contrast with the conduct of those who for gain were enslaving their brethren. He himself, invested with authority from the Persian king, might have demanded large contributions for his personal benefit. But instead he had given liberally to relieve the poor. He urged those guilty of extortion to restore the lands of the poor and the increase of money exacted from them, and to lend to them without security or usury. "We will restore them," the rulers declared, "and will require nothing of them, so will we do as thou sayest." And all the congregation said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. The Gospel can cure modern economic injustice. This record teaches an important lesson. In this generation, wealth is often obtained by fraud. Multitudes are struggling with poverty, compelled to labor for small wages, unable to secure even the necessities of life. Careworn and oppressed, they know not where to turn for relief. And all this that the rich may support their extravagance or indulge their desire to hoard. Love of money and display has made this world a den of thieves. "Come now, you rich," James wrote. "You have laid up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in pleasure, you have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. RSV. Even some who profess to fear God are acting over again the course pursued by the nobles of Israel. Because it is in their power to do so, they become oppressors. And because avarice is seen in the lives of those who have named the name of Christ, the religion of Christ is held in contempt. Extravagance and extortion are corrupting the faith of many and destroying their spirituality. The church gives countenance to evil if she fails to lift her voice against it. Every unjust act is a violation of the golden rule, done to Christ Himself in the person of His saints. Every attempt to take advantage of the ignorance or misfortune of another is registered as fraud in the ledger of heaven. Just to the extent that a man would gain advantage for himself at the disadvantage of another, will his soul become insensible to the influence of the Spirit of God. The Son of God paid the price of our redemption. He became poor that through His poverty we might be rich. By deeds of liberality to the poor we may prove the sincerity of our gratitude. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets.